listening to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 AM K108.
Good morning, Blue Magic. The sideshow began. We've all been watching the sideshow, and it's been pretty, pretty good. We got good politicians, and I guess it would be the sideshow, and people presenting things to us that it's more of entertainment than really facts. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show, and another beautiful day here in Hawaii, and looking at the Pali right now, and wow, what a spectacular view. The green and the clouds draping it make you want to do the show up there on top of the mountain so everybody can hear it. Anyway, thanks for joining, And just, I've had a couple people to ask if I could talk about, clarify, because they were not getting good, clear information on the stream, and the some said they saw some of it on TV and realized that the city council had a hearing, but didn't fully understand what was occurring. So I'll talk about that, and I'll also, one of the things just briefly I want to talk about is today, if you notice the newspaper, they endorsed Hanneman and Iona for governor, or for at least for this coming vote. And I don't know who of the two they're going to endorse later. But the question is, and I normally, I don't want to be speaking out against the local newspaper here, but knowing what I provide, these investigations, the things that I present, they just don't get the coverage. They took, for example, the Hanneman issue. The Miley stream occurred during and the Hanneman administration. Not once did the papers ever associate his name with that. Not once did they pursue him about any issues relating to that, or call him on the carpet for anything. And if you also look at the fundraising incident in Pittsburgh, they were very cordial and very polite with him. While I was looking back at some of the older issues on Jeremy Harris, they ripped him to shreds regarding the contracts and the kickbacks and all of that. But we didn't see any of that with Hanneman. Now, I've been contributing information and stories, and you may have heard me tell you about this one reporter who worked for the Honolulu Advertiser, Johnny Brannan, who's currently working for the Hanneman administration. And I was giving him stories, but the stories, when I give them the information and introduce him to some of the city workers who would be coming forward with information, they would never hit the paper. They would never do the story. There was Peter Boylan did a story. Workers wanted to come forward and talk about the gas. I spoke to Peter, and he was working for the Advertiser at the time, and he decided, oh yeah, give me a call, we'll definitely interested. Well, that story panned out, didn't do anything, didn't, the folks were willing to come forward. So it brings in, begs a lot of questions. Is this freedom of the press, or is it now that they feed us? And I know historically, the papers, the editorial board has nominated people, not nominated, but endorsed people. But in a town where there is one paper, one major paper, what does that do for us? Now I'm beginning to see what people feared more than anything now, that they, on the fringe, they keep who it is they wish to protect. And unless we were on different islands in different states, I can't imagine coming to the conclusion that you could draw up an endorsement or author up an endorsement and be willing to present it to the people and suggest to them who they should vote for. And all of these things, it is something that I don't know if we're pigs being hauled to slaughter or set up for slaughter or being told what, who and when we should vote of what, but I think, especially with the one-town paper, we really should refrain from that if we're going to protect all interests. The newspaper should be willing to say, at this time, we're going to not engage in that business or that practice. And also, I am really adamant about this. They were, in fact, on numerous occasions, not and intentionally withholding and not associating Hanneman's name with issues. And with Iona, what really have we seen with him, for example? What has he really done in the lieutenant governor's role? Did he do anything for education? Did he do anything for solid waste? What did he do? We know that he has a real strong religious connection, but what did he do? And how do we draw conclusions that he would be good above other candidates? How about John Carroll? Did they give him a look at and consider him? I mean, a man sitting on the beach telling me sunrise and rise, and the lady sitting with the Bible reading it, and his leader telling me that he's working through the body of Christ and what have you. He's making John Carroll, in my eyes, a lot better candidate. And in Hanneman, I mean, we just simply can't trust him. And if you look, for example, Caldwell, they endorsed him. What did Caldwell do? What has he done? He was the managing director. Now, keep in mind, prior to him, his predecessor had to leave, if you recall. There were some issues that occurred there. And there were issues there, and what did he do? Well, he left and went to Board of Water Supply, and then Caldwell was appointed. So what has Caldwell done for management of budgets and whatever? So anyway, 524-1080 is the number, 524-1080. I'd like to hear from you. What do you think? I don't want to just sit here and speak about this, but I'm curious. Am I off base, or should I be concerned? Give me a call, 524-1080. And you can pick this up at Carol to CarolCox.com. Good morning, Anonymous.
Morning, Mr. Cox.
Yes.
I'm calling in because I've been listening to your concerns, and I totally agree with you. I think that the newspaper is way, way off base by taking sides. And if we don't have a free press, what do we have? It's been not just a lack of news and deceptive news, but now it's actually an endorsement by a newspaper, and that leads everyone to believe that any of the news has been slanted up to this point.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my opinion.
Okay, well, thank you. So, what do we do with this, this behavior? I mean, I would bring on a politician on air, but I would always say that I am not endorsing, because I think it would be an insult to you to come and present something to you and say that's it in totality. While I may be simply have done a cursory research, or just really didn't delve into what this person is really about, or what, I don't know all the behavior and all the voting records and what have you, but it's troubling there that would happen. And I look at the debates, and what do we have? We have people sitting there that work for the newspaper and asking questions. Now, is that right or wrong? I don't know, but ask the question and allow them to give us the facts, ask us the question, ask the questions of the candidate, and let us make the decision. Go ahead, another caller. Hello.
Hi, I don't have a very good connection, but I think I might have gotten cut off, actually. But I did want you to know that I had followed your news stories about the dumping out in the East Stream and about things that had been going on with the city that had really been played down both by the television, broadcasting, news media, and by the paper. And then completely, the stories have completely changed in the last several weeks with Kirk Caldwell coming out and saying that all of that was just the mistake of city workers, didn't have anything to do with the administration. And so many of the stories that had originally surfaced with great detail were just kind of swept under the carpet and not brought to light. And with an election coming like this and the news media getting involved in not presenting the news, that's been a concern to all of us. It's not that we didn't notice it. It's simply that, you know, we're expecting that there'll be a certain level of transparency in the news, and it's just not there.
Mm-hmm. So what... Were you influenced by this? What would you do? Would you write the papers, or how would you treat this? How would you handle it in regards to this and responding?
I'm sorry, I can't quite hear you.
Would you write the papers, or how do we address this? What would the public, you as a reader or listener?
Well, I'm shocked. I don't think that this would happen in mainland press. I don't think this would happen in most large cities with the population that Honolulu has. I think that there has to be an outrage from the community. I think that people have to actually voice it in a way that it's going to really shake things up here, because this is not the first time that this has happened, but certainly it's the most recent since we've had a monopoly of the paper.
Mm-hmm.
But I would blame the broadcasting news media just as much as the newspaper for their slanted misrepresentation of not just this election, but many news art issues. So what would I do? Exactly what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
We have a grassroots radio show coming through you, Carol Cox, and there's certainly enough people that come on to your website, it's your blog, to at least let the word get out.
Mm-hmm.
What you've been doing, and it's not falling on deaf ears. There's many of us that are listening. It's just what's the next step?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there has to be an outrage.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm hoping you're right, because it's I personally share with the listeners out there. I don't anymore write letters to the editor, but you write a letter to the editor, and if they don't like the way it's said or stated, and it doesn't have to be vulgarities and profanity or anything. You could be as accurate as you could. All facts would be presented. They will change it. They will cut it.
Oh, I've written letters to the editor numerous times. And oftentimes I see them imprinted with my name on them, but I can hardly recognize that was the gist of my letter. It's been edited to the point that why bother writing?
Right.
That's the other extreme to this,
yeah,
is that there isn't any real outlet that's unbiased.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you've investigated facts. You've presented them to the press. They call you a fringe blogger,
mm-hmm,
and you've provided them with photos. This is not just a recent time. This has been going on for years.
Mm-hmm.
And then, in the end, what happens to those stories?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They get lost.
Yeah, like Mr. Caldwell just yesterday, what did he say? How did he serve it up to us in the Hanama Bay? It was badly broken, and he's out painting the railings down, so it's all
fixed. Yeah, it's just been a superficial facade attempt at making everything look great. And wherever you live on this island, you've seen what's happened in the last month and a half. It's only been 6 weeks that they've been trying to fix the potholes. It's only been 6 weeks that they've been painting over the graffiti.
Mm-hmm.
It's only been the last month that you know, as the time clock ticks off closer to this election, all of a sudden, oh, Murphy's been done a great job. He's been a great administrator for our city. Bullshit.
Listeners out there, you got to watch your language. Especially a town when we're getting religious leaders for government. We may get arrested and sent off to down south.
You get my point, and thank you for the opportunity to express it.
Okay, well, thank you. Alrighty. Wow, outrage, I guess. That's to you listeners out there, that was not our intention to let you hear, but it's okay. We apologize for a Sunday morning, and just not the right thing. Anyway, where does this go? What happens here? The element of surprise is sometimes the bad thing. And just if you saw the news the other day, the city managers were saying, well, we didn't know anything about the overtime and cutting the Kiavi wood. But if you listened to the show last week, you would have heard the young man speaking and disclosing what went on, because he worked at that site where they dumped the cement in. But they strung it out. And didn't the city, they kept denying, and at first they said it was legal and it was done, it was no problem, they were building a road, and then it came, they didn't know any, you know, they're going to train them. And what happened was, what did we end up getting? Yesterday we're getting two people that have been prosecuted. Now there were two conflicting statements. Kudamont, the head of the division that oversees these people that buried the cement, and then Kurt Caldwell. They had two conflicting statements, but nonetheless, they say that they've taken action, disciplinary actions against the people, but they also tell you we can't release that information as to because it's privacy and what have you. How does one work for government, abuse government and his authority, cost the taxpayers money, and we don't know? But if you are in an accident or you have an incident in your life, and in an instant the government will release all information about your abstract, your records, how many times you've been arrested and what have you. So what are we doing? Are we living in a system that now protects us from ourselves, or how do you describe it? It's kind of strange, but anyway, the issue with let's, for example, I don't know if you're aware that with the trash shipping out of trash, that fell under Hanneman's administration, but he blamed Todd Oppo, and Todd Oppo is as guilty as all get up in the involvement of this and his handling of this, and he was instrumental. While that is true, as Hanneman said, but Hanneman is the one also who bought into that. He claimed he objected originally, but he bought into it. It was part of his administrative approach to this. So I recovered a document, and this document back in July 2nd, there was a case file, and the case is Williams Scotsman Inc. is the plaintiff, and he's suing, they're suing Hawaiian Way Systems. And in that suit, the people are asking for their containers back. And this is the containers that Hawaiian Waste Systems is storing the waste in. So you have a company that rents out containers and modulars and stations, a building, small buildings, portables. They've rented to Hawaiian Waste. And apparently, they can't get their money, can't get paid, and they can't rent out the equipment because the equipment is held up, filled with garbage in Kalailoa or in Barber's Point. So, this is what the complaint says. In or about November 2009, defendant entered into a master equipment lease agreement with plaintiff for the lease of equipment, specifically defendant leased from plaintiff equipment described as trailers, containers, relocable, modular, and or prefabricated structures. And they ask for it back, and it states, despite having possession of plaintiff's equipment and storage containers, defendant is in breach of the lease agreement by failing to pay the lease rent required to be paid on the lease agreement. Now, we've heard here recently that the city know that Hawaiian Waste Systems Limited is LLC is insolvent. Basically, talking to quote Tim Steinberg, talking with their bankruptcy lawyer. The company Roll Off Hawaii was involved, or somehow Roll Off Hawaii Inc., or I don't know the specific limited or what have you, but the Enriquez and Steinberg, the city environmental management director, says that they don't have a contract with the Enriquez family because they trust the Enriquez family. And the Enriquez family has never defaulted or failed to pay. And this is while discussing the Hawaiian Waste System's failure to perform and failure to pay. And if you look at the newspaper, I must have missed it, but it didn't hold Hanneman's feet to the fire on this as one of his managing flaws or one incident that would have shown or spoke specifically to his management flaws. He was able to step out of role as a candidate and then place the burden on APO. And the city now, in this complaint, the city is also possibly going to be held accountable by the company. And they spoke of that in their complaint. So here we, the taxpayers, want to pay, and we don't really know. It's a gaping wound. We don't know how much we're going to pay. We really don't. And that was before Hanneman left the office. You never heard a mention of it. You never had the details. Now, they may have mentioned that a company, well, there was some legal issues or whatever. But to speak specifically, if Hawaiian Waste System was insolvent, when did the Hanneman administration know that? Steinberger seemed to have known it. But one of the things, what I did find out, is that now, they can't ship out the trash, and what we also have is I just received the other day, occurred on August 31st, the Yakima Indian Nation, their attorney sent me a copy of the ruling in the United States District Court of Eastern District of Washington. And that ruling was an order granting plaintiff's motion for preliminary injunction hearing and motion for expedited hearing, denying motion to strike declaration and requiring setting off scheduling conference. The USDA challenged the Yakima Nation. And you didn't see the details of this anywhere in the newspaper. So, if I can get it, why couldn't the newspaper get it? Well, they didn't want to get it because they would then, it would impact or impede their ability to endorse Hanneman. So, it's suspect when you have them endorsing Hanneman and Caldwell when we really... I'm not endorsing anyone, but I tell you, when you look at Peter Carlisle, I mean, I believe as upon his arrival, if he were to become, just as an example, this is the, not supporting him or advocating for him, but as an example, with his enforcement background, with his prosecuting him, I believe a large percentage of the corruption and abuse within city government would die and cease immediately. And I don't believe that he would permit such practices. And what happens is that I spoke to some people there at the prosecuting office and also the attorney general's office. The reason they have problems prosecuting some of the city workers or the city managers is that they are allowed to engage in relationships with businesses that are convoluted. For example, we don't, as Steinberger said, we don't have a contract with the Enriquez family because we trust them. But it's taxpayers' dollars, it's taxpayers' business that they're handling, not Steinberger and all. It was the public's money that we're passing out and the public's benefit. So why, what were they gauging? What were they using, the newspaper using to make this recommendation or endorsement? It's their right, but also freedom of press and free speech and all of that is there. But you have to wonder when you are leading the masses and they're waking up to see what you're going to report to them, you have an obligation morally. If you are the fourth arm of government, then you have an obligation. If you have the trust of the people, then you have an obligation to be forthright with all information and not package it up and hold back and slant it and write it the way you want to present. And so I'm reminded of this gentleman, Carlton Middleton. They had no problem putting a picture of him there. He's in jail now for... was in jail, I guess, for some violation of the TRO, what have you. They put a nice picture there and prominently affixed in the newspaper. And you saw that later on the following day, or a couple of days later, the one where Hanneman had sent out, there was apparently a flyer regarding religion and what have you, and they hid it in the back. And if you notice, look at the way they place. It's suspect the way they place, and I've spoken about this before, when they show the two candidates. And why didn't they demand, if they're going now to endorse Iona and Hanneman, why didn't they insist that Iona participate in the debates? We too would have had an opportunity to see them. So I think they there's a flaw there, and I think that speaks to something is suspect in that they're going to feed us their candidate. That's what they want. It's become convenient for them. They have an obligation. But the bigger issue is that all of these things, and I'm talking about the shipping of waste and the cement in the ditch to try and convey and paint a picture for you of what's really going on and help you understand why we should ask questions. They might be right in their endorsement, they have every right to do what they want to do. It's their paper, but they have an obligation to us as a people, as a free nation, not to hoodwink us and selectively feed us information as they see fit. So what goes on here is that while, again, this is Hanneman's management under his administration, Caldwell is a product of the Hanneman administration. Caldwell hadn't had time to solve or fix anything, so he can't claim that he fixed anything. And if he's claiming, as I've seen some of his ads, then if he is claiming to have fixed it or fixing it, then that's an admission that Hanneman failed it. Because if Hanneman is as perfect as the papers present him, then one would think that Caldwell would have nothing to do. He'd have nothing but idle time to go play golf and go dance at parties and shake hands. But he's able to tell you within whatever time he's been in as a mayor, he has fixed all of these things and he's going to fix them. So that's an admission that things are badly broken. But they don't play those two at the same time. If you listen and pay attention, you'll see Hanneman's announcement or commercial rolling where he's done all of these good things, and then you'll see Caldwell saying what he fixed. Well, that's interesting, because we're still in a pickle here with our economy, and we had furloughs. When Hanneman came in, we were sitting pretty good. We have furloughs, and we have people defrauding the government on overtime. And some lowly individual workers going to be punished, whether it be a supervisor or what have you. But who on top is punished? Who on top gets to be even their name associated with this failure? But some of the shenanigans that were allowed in the Hanneman administration and continue to be allowed under this Carlisle acting administration, and that is backing up to the trash ship out. So I'm quite curious. They say that 20,000 ton of trash is sitting in containers waiting to be shipped out. Well, it didn't get shipped out, so now there's 20,000 tons that they got to dispose of, and they got to shred some or sort some. But somehow, the Enrique's family owns another company called Recyclers, Reuse, Reduce, or Triple R, we'll call them. Now, they are allowed. Now, you think that they're part of Hawaiian Waste System. They're insolvent, so they have no money, and so they really shouldn't be extended any courtesy at that facility. It should be closed down, and that's it. But the Enriquez family, under another company name, can take material to that facility and process it, sort it, or whatever they call it. So I went there and observed, and you can see the trucks coming in and dumping whatever they claim it was, plastics and cardboards and whatever. But to allow that practice, apparently this company has money to continue to operate, so they're not insolvent, or that arm of it or that other subsidiary is not. It's the same people, just a different name. All of this was occurring and is occurring. It occurred under the Hanneman administration, and it is occurring, being allowed, under the Caldwell administration. Problem not fixed. So are we really intending to get rid of this trash? Because if we were, we would force them to immediately get rid of it. But they can't. They have to stop working on that trash if they were to start, to stop and let the facility be used by the Enrique family for another process. So the trash still sits there. And I've spoken with the health department, Larry Lau, the deputy director of Solid Hazard and Waste, and I've spoken to Steve Chain. And they share my concerns that why then would we allow this material to be brought in if, in fact, they are under notice of violation to get rid of this material. They were told they have to get rid of the material, and they received a notice of violation. One of the things is a city is playing games. So Hawaiian Waste System requests an extension on the hearing that they have with the state. And so the health department now is on hold until the hearing is over, as if this is a stay for Hawaiian Waste Systems to continue violating the law as they've been cited on these four sites. Yet, anyone else would never get the courtesy, ever, ever, ever be treated with such kid gloves in this process. This speaks to one's management style, one management ability, and the inability to do things. And when they say that it works and he's fluid and he's a good manager, folks, I'm telling you, there are just two basic ones that I brought out, and there are others. We won't talk about the millions of gallons of sewage water leachate from Kapaa Quarry landfill that they were intentionally dumping, as I brought to the station and on TV, dumping it into the Kailua-Inui Marsh. Newspaper didn't bother to pick it up because it would have reflected bad on their favorite person. William, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Carol. How are you today?
I'm fine.
You know, I just sit here and listen, you know, and you know, when you compare Mupi to Jeremy Harris, you know, Jeremy Harris is, you know, if you look at where he works now, he works for the same people that were donating money constantly over and over through different employees and things like that.
You want to give me some names?
Comparison to Jeremy Harris.
You want to give me some names where Jeremy is working for? Be specific now.
You know, I don't have those. But
you have to have those to know.
And then for the paper situation.
Hold on. You got to, if you make such statement,
right,
you have to tax yourself and present it. I can't imagine one could call up on a radio show and make such statement and then can't tell the companies that Jeremy works for. Where'd you get your knowledge from? What are you operating
on? He's with an engineering firm. I'm not sure.
I will dismiss that part. What's your other point?
But then the other thing that I was, you know, with the papers, you know, I read the papers this morning, mm-hmm. too, and I thought it was great, you know, because, you know, you haven't heard one thing about Neil Amicombe. And all his big accomplishments, which he has had some great accomplishments. I don't disagree.
Well, we don't have an Amicombe running for governor. We have an Abercrombie. Are we talking to the same person, or what are we talking?
Go back to that. What did you say?
We don't have an Abercrombie working. Which one are you talking about?
No. Abercrombie, who is running against Hanneman for governor.
Okay. All right. Well, we must be in a different state. But anyway, go ahead. No, I mean, and do you work? Let me ask you this:
I see Duke and Mupi getting bashed for their religion beliefs and that thing, you know. And at the end, it'll all come out, you know, because there is a big Christian base in the state of Hawaii.
Yeah, let me ask you this: now, are you affiliated with the Hanneman campaign?
I sure am.
What do you do for the Hanneman campaign?
I sign, wave, and do whatever I can.
And are you paid? Are you hired to do that?
No.
You don't get paid?
No.
Is this William Lee Williams?
Yeah.
Okay, so then you provided me some false information. You told me you were being paid $10 an hour for waving signs and driving a truck. The big truck with the sign waving.
I do.
Okay, so if you see, folks, this is the Hanneman machine at its best right here. You get people to call in. They can't pronounce the candidate's name, but they're fully informed and they want to defend. This isn't about defending Lee. This is about telling the truth and letting people make that decision. If you have a great relationship with Mufi Hanneman, that's fine. But don't comment and infer that he's better than Jeremy Harris, because Jeremy Harris is working for engineering companies that he took money from, but you don't even know the name of the engineering companies.
Yeah, but
that's,
I mean,
not
you
logical.
And I both know that he...
No, we don't.
You know, that he was, you know...
If you look at the closed caption, this show is in English, not French, so there's no we. No we.
I am French. Do you have something against the French?
No. But anyway, but I understand what you're saying.
No, but my point is I listen to your show.
Well, I appreciate that.
All I hear about is Duke and Mufi and how bad they are. And I haven't heard one thing about Neil Amicombe.
Well, do you have anything bad about Neil Amicombe?
Well, I mean, just no, I don't.
You see, this is the insanity. This is when you get paid to wave signs and drive a big truck with a big 9x9 poster on it for Mufi Hanneman and get paid to do it, and then you call up and want to defend and Mufi Hanneman for the bad thing?
Oh, I do, because I really feel that, you know, that you say you don't make endorsements, but it's clear. It's clear that, You're definitely not going to endorse Iona or Abercrombie.
Well, okay, I'm glad I let you finish that. I thought you were going to say it is clear that I'm endorsing someone. But anyway, if that's the case, now that you mention that, who's paying for those signs over there, that big truck that drives around with that sign?
The Hanneman campaign does.
The Hanneman campaign? Who's he renting it for?
They do. You can look it up.
He's renting it from Kevin Andrews?
The campaign's been... The
plant research community? Okay.
And the signs are paid for.
Where is he getting the signs?
By the Hanneman campaign.
Is Hanneman having his signs made in the Philippines?
Not the ones on the side.
But which ones is it?
I'm losing you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you clear. Can you hear me? Well, anyway, folks, I've lost him. But what's going on here? This is clear. This is what goes on with the local politics. Give a man a dime and he'll say anything anytime. But when it comes to the truth, I've been looking at this sign-waving bit with this is Lee Williams. And then what he's doing is that this plant research corporation is they house the truck, the big truck that drives around with the sign on it. And I've taken pictures of it, and I think I have one on the website. But Kevin Andrews is a person there, and Kevin Andrews supposedly is going to Philippines and having signs made for Mufi. Are they being reported? We don't know. So what is happening here? This is what we deal with. This is similar to the papers. So if you have a disagreement, fine, but, you know, don't come and just toss out anything, be tossed salad and can't describe what's in the salad. Anyway, Lana, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning. Oh, I just had to call and say, attaboy.
Well,
look at him. I mean, I really enjoy your radio program because, you know, we get the kind of things that nobody else will get the guts to bring up.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you.
Yeah, well, sometimes I get upset with you, but, you know, hey, you're human too, so...
Well, that's why we call it a talk show, and
yeah.
It's not
well,
to... I'm not here to hope that you like me. I'm too old and ugly now to be liked and covered.
No, no, no.
But I respect...
Kudos, with that environmental thing, you know, that cement one. Oh, I saw you on TV.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's too bad that even the... You know how the upper echelon got the powers? They can... stop the report and whatnot.
Oh yeah, they do have influence, and we should be worried about that.
Yeah, you know, even me as a viewer, I do see things and I complain. You know, they tell me, oh, you go do the research. You know, that kind of stuff. So maybe I can ask you to do the research.
On what now? What specific?
You know, the old Ever plantation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a graveyard, mm-hmm. And when, what's his name? Harris was mm-hmm. governor. We were told, as all the people who, you know, have loved ones buried there, they were going to do something there, but the graveyard is still there, you know. So everybody had to, you know, get together with family members because I had grandfathers, mm-hmm. uncles, and my dad all buried there.
Right, right.
Yeah, we had to all get together, the clan, and chip in to get them, you know, the Reverend Bongsang to pray and uproot the our loved ones, you know, urns and take it to the Mililani plot.
Okay, Lana,
yeah.
Can I ask you, can you call me off air and let me give you the number, 7...
Okay, wait. I wasn't going to bring that up, but I seem like I had you on the air. Okay.
782.
782.
6627. 6682. Wait. 782.
6627.
Oh, 27. Right. So
okay.
Give me a call later, and we'll talk, and then we'll see, get some information from you.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, one thing I kind of disappointed. I wish they would change that. You know the primary?
Right. Well,
you either got to choose Democrat or Republican, right?
Can you call me next week and let's talk? You be the first to call me next Sunday. We're closing down. I got.
Oh, okay, okay.
No, call me back next Sunday and you're more than welcome to.
Don't you want me to call you off the air tell you about that?
On that other matter, but I want you to share with others.
Oh, okay. Very good. Okay,
right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. We're going to take a break here right quick before we close out, and I'll get back to you shortly.
Aloha and namaste. My name is Dr. Raj Kumar. I am the president of Gandhi International Institute for Peace. We would like to invite you to celebrate the birthday of one of the world's great leaders, Mahatma Gandhi. The events include multicultural dances, music by Royal Hawaiian Band, and interfaith discussion for world peace. The event starts on October 2nd, 10 a.m. to noon, outside of Honolulu Zoo by the Gandhi statue. Please join us that day. Feel free to bring your towel, mat, beach chair, glasses, and wear white attire for the event. And enjoy the multicultural dances, music, and beautiful speeches from the social leaders and interfaith leaders. For volunteers and donations, please contact Raj Kumar at 808-372-1444 and check out our website www.gandhianpeace.com and email at rkumarhi@yahoo.com. Mahalo.
Okay. Welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. You can pick this up at carolcox.com, carolcox.com. I do want to somewhat apologize in that I don't want to be harsh to callers and frighten everybody away, but if you're going to call and make a challenge or whatever, be factual, and that's what we're trying to speak against, innuendos and slander and whatever. And that information that I spoke about, Hanneman's truck hauling around, that is fact. It is out in Waimanalo. It's housed out there. It's the same people that drives around the abortion truck with the big picture on it. It's stored at the same place. It's that same group. So anyway, I'll see you next week, and aloha.
Listening, and tune in again next time for the Carol Cox Show on K108. This is KWAI Honolulu 1080 on the AM dial.